Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your life. Our show, The Flatline, heard every Sunday at the same time on this channel, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education. And it's always done without manipulation. That means we don't try to trick you into joining something. We don't try to hustle you out of your money. We don't try to coerce you into doing something or giving up something. We just simply give you accurate information. The Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And my job as the speaker on this show is to simply give you the Word of God and get out of God's way. All I'm here to do is verify and identify God's plan for your life. Not offer you some useless speculation, but rather give you accurate information. Short biblical principles, biblical concepts that'll help you in your life. We call our show The Flatline. It is a show about the Bible, yes. And FLOT is a military acronym which stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And basically what we teach on the show is how you can arm your soul so that you can keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. That's one of the things. And the other thing is so that you can survive in the devil's world knowing entirely what his strategy is for you. The Bible tells us this in Ephesians 6, that we're to arm ourselves with the full armor of God and not be ignorant of Satan's strategies. We're to know what they are. We're to know what he's thinking. And what he's thinking is to keep us in the dark. He does not want us to know what's going on. He wants us to remain in spiritual ignorance. And so we have been trying to tell you as effectively as we can the importance of learning the Word of God in a consistent basis under a qualified pastor so that you can then apply what you've learned into your life and replicate the thinking of Christ and by doing this, represent Christ to your generation. That's our job, to represent Jesus Christ. His character assets come out of our life and people see Christ in us. And that's why Paul said it's no longer Christ, but it's me. If I live, one thing, dying is another thing, but it's Christ in me, the hope of my glory. And Paul made that very clear. And you, as a believer, know this same thing is to be true. You've seen the little bracelets that kids wore a few years ago. What would Jesus do? Well, that was sweet and that was nice, but actually there's a lot more to it than that. And that's where the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that's why we're studying that. That's why we went over some of these things. If this is your first time, you really missed a lot last week because we set up the concept of equipping your soul and how a spiritual birth demanded spiritual growth. And we talked about where that spiritual birth began, and that is when you made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ, when you accepted him. And we verified that the life of the soul is not in the blood, because I showed you how you could have a complete blood transfusion and still be the same person. They can take all your blood out and put brand new blood in. The real you is in your soul. And I showed you how the Lord redeems the soul of his servants in Psalm 34. And yes, he will. Your soul will live forever. Your body will go back to the grave. And you, if you are in fact a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get a new body, a resurrection body. And that's the body that your soul will abide in forever. Now, for the current time, we are in the devil's domain. The Bible says we're sojourners, that we're passing through. And the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the strategy of the devil, that you can have a defensive posture against the strategy of the devil. You're never told, and let me repeat this, you're never told to go on the offense against Satan. You're told to be on the defense. Now, God can handle Satan, and God has equipped you with problem-solving devices that will deal and give you the ability to be victorious over Satan. But here's what you need to learn and understand. You have three enemies, not just one. the world, the flesh, and the devil. And oftentimes the devil doesn't even bother with you because you cannot get victory over your own flesh. Or you cannot get victory over the human viewpoint thinking that the world assaults you with every day. And so you wander off down the my way highway chasing the dream the world tells you will make you happy. And that's, why would Satan worry with you? You're going to defeat yourself. But if you are wise enough to arm your soul with the thinking of Christ, then a radar blip goes up for Satan. He's going to immediately recognize you're a troublemaker. You're a person that needs to be stopped, and he's going to do everything within his power to seduce your thinking, like he seduced Eve in the Garden of Eden and seduced her thinking into believing that God didn't really mean it when he said, don't eat of that fruit. And he got her to ignore the authority of Adam and submit to his authority and eat the forbidden fruit. And Satan will try to seduce you as well with thinking satanic viewpoint, buying into things like religion and ritual without reality and how meaningless it is, and that goodness and God is a God of love, and if you're basically a good person, you're going to go to heaven. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. And Satan will spew forth his human viewpoint thinking to try to indoctrinate people to buy into his plan, because he does not want to go to the lake of fire. He has impugned the name of God since the day he was judged in eternity past, and he will use you to try to cop a plea and to get out of the lake of fire. But he's not. He's judged. He's condemned. And unless you believe what God has said, then you're going to force the justice of God to condemn you as well. God did not designate the lake of fire for you. He designated his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, to be the substitute sin bearer. That's what God designated for you, and for you to believe in him. It's all it takes, and you have your ticket to heaven. No, some people are going to tell you, well, now that's not enough, brother. You got to be baptized, brother. Strangely enough, Paul the Apostle said, God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And strangely enough, Paul said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that all who believe it, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. People are going to tell you, you got to give this up, give that up. You know, you can't drink Pepsi-Cola anymore, Coca-Cola, RC-Cola, Grape-Cola. You can't do this, you can't do that, and be a Christian. And it's all satanic viewpoint. It's all attempt to manipulate people into earning their way into heaven by following ritualistic programs and ritualistic mandates that have nothing to do with salvation. The Bible clearly says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone would brag about it. We're making this clear on the show. And if you're listening, I pray that you would understand this. And you would not let Satan seduce your thinking. You will arm your soul with biblical inventory of divine viewpoint, and that you will have some responsible spiritual intelligence and not be irresponsible. You know the difference between responsible and irresponsible when I'm talking about spiritual intelligence? Irresponsible is the person that hears what the pastor says and does not apply it, but rather walks out and forgets it. And responsible spiritual intelligence is the person who hears what the pastor says and by faith believes it and applies it into his life and makes it part of his daily agenda. See, that's the difference between what the Bible calls gnosis and epinosis. I know they're big words, but gnosis is translated knowledge, and epinosis is translated knowledge, and sometimes you get confused with these two words, but gnosis is knowledge you heard, and epinosis is knowledge you heard, believed, and applied. That's what God wants for you. And he wants you to grow. He wants you to be enlightened. And you do this through an attitude of humility. And so your soul is armed as you understand the person of Christ. He gives us the stamina to execute the spiritual life. And that's what Paul desires for us in the New Testament. that we would advance, that we would align ourselves with reciprocal love as God loved us, that we would love Him back, and that we would love one another, and that we would successfully continue to assimilate the mind of Christ through our church, through our pastor. We successfully learn it and apply it into our life. And we've said before, unfortunately, not a lot of churches do that. So the believer must understand the importance of the Word of God. You know something else you have to understand, and you'll hear me talk about it on the show, you have to understand that the Word of God is infallible, infallible. That is, in the original manuscripts, it is without error. It does not make a mistake. It never contradicts itself, as some people will tell you, in the original autograph. Now, some people get all high and mighty and say, I only believe in the 1611 King James Version. That's the anointed version. And some people say, well, I only believe in the Scofield Version. And some people say, I only believe in the NIV. Or I only believe in the New American Standard. Listen, folks, if I told you how many translations of the Bible there are, you'd be blown away. This is why the Bible is the number one selling book in the world today, because there's so many different translations. And I myself have about 50 different translations in my office. And I compare them and I look at them to see what different people, how they translated this word or what they thought it meant. Listen, the original writings are the ones that are inspired. Do we have the original writings? No, we don't. We do not have the original writings. They were lost. But we have copies of the original writings. They go back within just a few hundred years of when things were written. See, when an apostle would write a letter to a church like the church at Corinth or the church at Ephesus or the church at Philippi or whatever, when Matthew, Mark, Luke would write something like Luke wrote Acts, it was copied and recopied and circulated. And no, we don't have the originals, but we have the copies. And we have enough copies that we have discovered through antiquity to know that they're accurate. And that God has indeed preserved His Word. And for someone to say, well, I only believe in this version or that version, that that's the inspired version, that is not correct. What is inspired is the God-breathed original manuscripts. And we have the original Word of God brought down through copies and provided for you as you study the languages, as you look, for example, into the Greek New Testament, into the Hebrew and Aramaic Old Testament. And you will find the Bible says that every jot and every tittle, every dot, every comma, every parentheses, every paragraph is important. It's important the way that God wrote it. So you arm your soul by believing the infallibility of the Word of God, that it is totally accurate. It is not mistaken. It is not something that was written by men. The Bible clearly says it didn't come by the writing of men. It came by the will of the Holy Spirit. And then you need to understand something else. You need to understand the age in which you live. If you're going to be a man or a woman of God that's going to fulfill the plan of God for this generation, you're going to have to understand, for example, that you're not living in the Old Testament. That you're not under the laws of the Old Testament, that you're under the new covenant that Christ made with the church, and you're in what's called the church age, and that Jesus Christ lives in you. He never lived inside anybody in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit only indwelled a few people in the Old Testament, and it wasn't called indwelling, it was called endowment, and they could lose it. You never lose it. You live in a different dispensation. And we have to be specific about where we live. We are not in the age of Israel. We are not in the tribulation. We're not in the millennium. We're in the church age. And the plan of God that works for the church age is the job of the pastor to teach it to you so that you understand it. And as you arm your soul with the will of God, understanding His policy and His procedure, this is called the protocol plan of God. And when you understand the policy and the procedure that God has set forth for us that are in the time continuum, we're here, we're now, and then there's going to be the eternal continuum. We'll translate, we'll go into another body, and our soul will live forever. And we know verses like 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. You can't see the eternal thing. They're in the eternal continuum. Can people in the eternal continuum see you? Well, only angels, not your grandma and grandpa, or your daughter, or your son, or your husband, or your wife. No, they can't see you. And so there's no sense praying to them and asking them to guide you. God the Father has equipped you with His Holy Spirit, with the Word, and these are the light and the map that you need in your life. Now, can angels see you? Yes. They can travel back and forth between the time continuum and the eternal continuum. Can you see them? And here again, you get into some sort of somebody going to say, I saw an angel when I was 7. I've had people tell me all sorts of stuff. No, you're not going to see angels. No one's seen any angels. If you think you've seen an angel, you need to talk to a doctor. Because you haven't seen an angel and you haven't seen Jesus Christ. Because He said if He came back, He would take us with Him. And if He came back and He didn't take us with Him, we're in a big jam. And so I don't know what you saw. But I can tell you this, the Word of God is alive and powerful. People want a miracle. People want to see a sign. People want to see the Virgin Mary bleed blood out of that statue over there. People want to see a dove turn into a hawk. People want all kind of weird stuff. You have the most amazing miracle in your home called the Bible, and you never even open it. You never even read it. You never even learn anything out of it because you're hanging around waiting on some miracle to take place. And you'll spend all amount of money and go as far as you can go to see something where someone said that the Virgin Mary appeared in an oak tree in a field. And off you go to see it. What is wrong with you? Why are you ignoring the most wonderful gift that God has ever given you other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you? He has given you the Word of God. It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, as a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. He has equipped pastors that have the spiritual gift to teach it to you. And you are ignoring it. You're not even paying any attention to it. It's collecting dust. Why are you doing that? And I pray that this show would challenge you to pick up your Bible, to get into the Word of God, and do what Paul said in Philippians 1:27. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or whether I'm absent and hear about you, I will know you're standing firm, that you're not retreating, you're not going backwards, that you're in one spirit that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that you are striving side by side together, that's in your church, with one mind, that's the mind of Christ, for the faith of the gospel, and you are in no way intimidated by your opponent. And your opponent is certainly the devil. That's why we have this mandate to arm our soul in Ephesians 6. That's why we have the imperative of put on. This is not a request. In Ephesians 6:11, when God says that we're to arm our soul, and God uses the word in the Bible, put on, that doesn't look like much to you, does it? Put on. That doesn't sound very significant. But if you are a student of the Bible, if you're a student of the Greek New Testament, you know that the word put on is the Greek word enduo, and it is a imperative mood verb, which means God is not asking you to do this. He is telling you to do this. This is the commander's intent. And when you do not put it on, you're sinning. What am I supposed to put on? I'm supposed to put on the panoplia, the Greek word for whole armor. The panoplia, the whole armor from God. It's been provided by God. He's given it to you. And you are to strap it on. Paul is teaching it to us in a military metaphor. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. And we destroy arguments and every proud obstacle that's raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive so that we may obey Jesus Christ. That's why the psalmist said, when we're referring to taking every thought captive, he said this, "Search me, O God," in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and examine my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever asked God to examine your heart? Have you ever asked God to go into the deepest part of your soul and look at your thoughts? What are your thoughts? They are the motives and the intentions in your heart. They are why you do the things you do. Does God have a cure for some of these things? Yes. See what the writer said? "Lead me in the way everlasting." God has a plan that can rescue you from slavery to your old sin nature. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. When the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it starts with you walking in the Spirit, using problem-solving devices number one and number two. And then it moves over to problem-device number four and number five. And that's biblical orientation and doctrinal orientation and grace orientation. You begin to orient to the Word of God and the grace of God, and you grow in grace, and you become the man or the woman that God intended for you to be. He equipped you to be this person. You see, God inventories your thoughts. Did you know that? You didn't realize that, did you? Listen to Revelation 2:23. "I am the one who constantly inventories the emotions and the stream of consciousness, and I will impose punishment to each of you according to your production." Did you know that? That God inventories your thinking. In 1 Peter 1:12, the Bible says the angels desire to know what the Holy Spirit teaches you, because He doesn't teach them the same thing. They're watching you. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as new Christians, desire the pure milk of the Lord so you can grow. The angels would like to know the things you know. And so they're watching and they're observing what the Holy Spirit's teaching you. And they're observing whether or not you're going to be seduced by Satan in your mind. And you're going to buy into human viewpoint thinking in organized religion. And you're going to be satisfied to go to church and sing a few songs and tithe your 10% and go on over to Luby's or on over to Morrison's or on over to Kentucky Fried Chicken and have, or to Grandma's house and have your dinner and watch football, and that's it for the week. If that's all church is for you, man, you have missed it. You don't even have a clue to what the spiritual life is. It's a sad state of affairs. But Satan has successfully subverted the minds of many Christians who say it's too hard. And they tell the preacher, "Keep it simple, stupid." KISS. You heard that KISS acronym before? K-I-S-S. "Keep it simple, stupid. It's too hard, preacher. I don't understand all of that." Well, what KISS really stands for is "keep the simple, stupid." That's what it really stands for. God doesn't want you to stay stupid all your life. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to advance. That's why the Bible warns you in Hebrews 5:11-13, you ought to be teachers, you ought to be mature, but you're not. You're still a baby. Because you haven't gotten into the Word. You haven't gotten under a pastor that would teach you anything. You haven't taken your thoughts captive. And when God inventories your brain, zero. That's what He finds. Zero content of the Word of God in your soul. Now, how can He put you in the game? How can He use you? How can He put you in the front lines? You've never got out of boot camp. You never got out of basic training yet, to use the military analogy. So when God inventories your thoughts, He's looking at your motives. And your motive could be arrogance or humility. God already tells you He makes war against arrogant people, but He gives grace to the humble. He's going to look at to see whether you're arrogant or humble. Whether you're justifying why it's okay to continue to sin, and deceiving yourself into thinking that he's not really going to do anything about it, or whether you have enough humility to pray what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139, search me and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. God is going to examine the intentions of your heart, whether they're evil or good. God's going to examine your desires to see if they're fleshly or spiritual. And so the concept that you must understand is that right thinking precedes right deeds or right actions. So you are to take every thought captive. Every thought. We went over it. I gave you the verse. Take every thought captive so that Satan does not seduce us with human viewpoint thinking. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, everything that is true, everything that is honorable, everything that is right, everything that is pure, everything that is from love, everything that is commendable, if there's any virtue and anything worthy of praise, then concentrate on these things. You want to know the biggest dilemma that I see? I see believers who want the power of God in their life, but they are not willing to discipline themselves to learn and apply His Word every day. Do you hear that? I see believers that want the power of God in their life, but they're not willing to discipline themselves to learn and apply His Word every day. Isn't that a shame? The age of instant communication, the age of instant awareness, internet, go to the internet. I want to find out about that cancer. I want to find out about that car. I want to find out about that school. I want to find out about whatever. Well, where do you find out about God? The Bible. The Bible is revealing God's plan to you. And so, in this passage about arming our soul in Ephesians 6, the writer Paul said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's not who we're fighting against. But we're fighting against rulers and authorities and world powers and spiritual forces in the heavenlies. Now, if I had the time, I'd explain arche, exousia, cosmos, creator, and pneumatikos, four different Greek words there. I don't have time to explain all of that to you, but I'll tell you this. It's a angelic order of battle. It is Satan's system of command. So he has lieutenants, he has generals, he has captains, he has sergeants, and he has privates. And all of these are fallen angels like himself that were judged by God in eternity past. So he says in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, it is because of this that you must take up the complete armor of God so that you will be able to stand in the day that you're attacked. Now, where do you think the attack's going to come? It's going to come in your brain. It's going to be the attack of doubt, the attack of fear, the attack to get you to rebel against legitimate authority in your life. There's so much I could say about that, but I'm not your pastor. But I could sure talk to you a long time about the authority structure of God, Christ, man, woman. That's the authority structure set up in the Bible. And so that's why Satan went after the woman, to seduce her thinking and to pull her out from underneath the authority of the man who was to govern her. And he was successful. And the man submitted to her authority and ate the fruit. Well, you talk about a mixed up thing. And Satan got a good laugh out of that. Well, we don't want that happening to us and to you and to me, so we must be aware of how we arm our soul. I'm just getting started, man. Hang with me. Stick with it. Next Sunday, come back. Same time, same place. We got a lot more to say about it. Until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.